Just have that intro as that sound without any explanation.
Tom wanking.
And then do this.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of FPL by Dummies.
We're back together. It's finally happened.
How are you, mate? How are Cam? How are you? I'm Tom, by the way. That would make sense, wouldn't it? I'm Tom. I'm one of the dummies. And Cam, you're my other dummy.
I am the dummy that is no longer shitting himself and has remembered his wife's birthday, so all good.
I thought you were going to be much more aggressive than that because they were all lies, weren't they?
No, absolutely true. Everything that comes out of your Matty Brown's mouth is to be trusted, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, actually. it wasn't dark, deceitful lies, as we knew you wouldn't have known what we were saying.
No, yeah. All good, mate. Life is a bit stressful, but what's life without a bit of stress?
Exactly.
Good and happy. But, and that's not even FPL related, but can't complain. The international break is finally over. Sweet, sweet Premier League finally returned this weekend. So yeah, life is good.
Good, mate. Good. How's your week going?
Yeah.
FPL wise, obviously we've already heard that your life's going, you know, stressful and depressing, but FPL wise, how's it going?
Now we turn to the good stuff. Yeah, it's not too bad. I think life score, I'm above average, which I think we'll all take in life. As you well noticed, Thiago Silva is not getting subbed off. So it would just be Trent coming off for Kilman for two. So with that, I will be above average. But I do still have Saka to play tonight, who presumably will be starting, but we'll get the Arsenal lineup soon. And then, yeah, I've got, who would have thought, triple Burnley left to play in the game. But I think it is quite promising because they have Everton at home and Everton just do not score goals. So, with Pope in there, I'm quite hopeful of another 6 points there. And then, yeah, just hoping that Big Vout turns up and Corne assists him three times and then we'll be sitting pretty. But yeah, nothing major to write home about. Watkins coming in, finally scoring, getting bonus. Cancelo keeping the inevitable clean sheet. And then Salah and, I mean, Kane pretty much blanking, getting an assist. But a yellow card means that pretty measly returns all round. But, yeah, you know, the average being 35 this week kind of suggests everyone is suffering at the minute. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. A lot of sixes in the old defence this week. Rudiger obviously scored the absolute screamer.
I did see that. You went very big at the back.
Yeah, Robbo, Cancelo, Rudiger, Trent. Obviously, I'm pretty sure Trent wasn't going to play, but I thought I'd start him anyway just in case.
This is the thing that if he does and he keeps a clean sheet, then you're laughing. And if he doesn't, well, then he just goes off for whoever you have planned. Exactly.
So Robbo kept clean sheet, Cancelo kept clean sheet, Rudiger kept clean sheet. Oh, wait, no, he didn't. He scored a screamer and then they got absolutely... They got fucking destroyed.
By who?
Oh, by the mighty Brentford. Oh, honest to God. Inject it into my fucking veins. Especially his celebration as well. I mean, it was an absolute screamer, but his celebration, I was like, absolutely mudded, mate. Get absolutely
Send
mudded.
Send that to your fucking friends.
Yeah, glorious.
Outplayed.
Out fucking played. Up the pie face. Yeah, Kulusevski, assist, Kane, assist, Salah, nothing. But that's another six-pointer. And Jose Sarr conceding a last-minute penalty to Watkins, which did not help me, unlike you. So, not a bad week. 42 points once Livramento comes in off the bench. And Brentford fucking humbled Chelsea. So, I mean, that's all I fucking care about.
Yeah, the big Dane is back. Very well taken. This is the thing. I mean, obviously, you know, he was out for a decent amount of time, but the energy he showed on the weekend, like getting up with play to stick that away, was very impressive.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. I loved that all of the afterwards, like all of the managers and everything's like, oh, you know, it's great. He's back. It's really great. And then all the pundits were going like, oh, you know, he needs to move on to a big club and stuff. And it's like, no one wanted to take a chance on him at the start. Only Brentford wanted to take a chance on him. So all those other clubs can fuck off.
Well, it was all, I don't know, maybe, I don't know which pundits it was.
Tim Sherwood. Tim Sherwood, well, little prick.
No one can really listen to Tim Sherwood, but just more, you know, most people probably wouldn't have taken a chance on him just because, you know, have we had a precedent before of someone having severe cardiac problems and then coming back to play Premier League football? I don't think we have. So
Daley Blind, that's the only one I can think of playing at Ajax, well, at the moment, isn't he?
But yeah,
and he's definitely playing better. He's definitely playing better at Ajax than he did at United. So
yeah, but it is like, as much as, you know, yeah, love the United, shade. Like the Eredivisie is different to the Prem, it is just the case of, you know, top six up taking a chance on a player like that. It just hasn't happened. So, you know, totally understandable. But, you know, to now turn around and say, oh yeah, of course he was going to be good. Yeah, absolutely. Should go on to the bigger and better clubs. It's like, well, no one was prepared to take that risk until now. So, until the mighty bees did.
We'll see in summer if he stays. Oh, honest to God.
I don't see why he wouldn't.
I don't know what I'd do to make him stay for another year. I'd do some unholy, disgusting things to make him stay for another year.
This isn't a family friendly podcast, but let's keep it friendly.
I'm not going to say what I'd do. I'm just going to leave it to the listener's imagination.
Yeah.
I mean, the imagination should get pretty dark. That's all I'm saying.
So the eternal question, which I've been asking for the past month or two, is that Brentford now safe?
I mean, we're 11 points clear with 8 games to go. Surely we're safe now.
I think, yeah. I mean, I would say that, you know, even Leeds actually have played more games than anyone below them. So a miracle could happen and Burnley could win their 3 games in hand, and then that's very tight. But I think, generally speaking, definitely Newcastle up are all safe now.
I think if we win, we've got Watford, Everton and Leeds in our final last few games. If we win one of those, I think we're safe. 36 points, yeah. I think, is definitely enough this year.
You've picked up some very big results recently. That 6-point, well, I mean, it's not really a 6-pointer against Norwich, but particularly the one against Burnley. And then
that was huge.
Obviously the one that no one expected, apart from you, on Saturday against Chelsea.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I was not expecting... 4-1 to Chelsea would have been definitely joking. A normal result.
But, like, six points out of those 2 games is massive. And, you know, I was genuinely asking you if you thought you were in danger after the Newcastle game, because... it looked like it, but
and I was. And to be fair, I said, you know, if we hadn't won those 2 games, I thought that was, you know, going to put us straight in it. But luckily, won those 2, and then we, as I said earlier, out fucking played.
And then there was obviously a soccer aid on a Saturday afternoon, as Gary Neville put it, the United Leicester game, which thank God I didn't bother to watch because it sounded god awful. But yeah, do we think that's probably United out of the top 4 battle now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
Spurs with a game in hand of them, which is against Arsenal. Arsenal with 3 games in hand.
And they're West Ham. 3 points ahead as well. And Arsenal look pretty good. So yeah, I think they're pretty much done. I'd say so. Yeah, I'm pretty...
played? Spurs, well,
United
have
got
the
some
tough
games still as well, haven't they? Arsenal and Chelsea.
Yeah,
and then
but this
Liverpool.
Is the thing that all three of Spurs, Arsenal and United still have tough opposition left to play. So it's not really written on the wall one way or the other. But I think by virtue of the fact that they all do have tough games, but as it stands, Spurs and Arsenal are ahead of them. It's probably between them two. Maybe West Ham could sneak in there, but they've played even more games than United. So... let's say even, you know, Arsenal and Spurs pick up a point or two. Well, can't pick up 2 points, but a point or 3 in their games in hand. And, you know, they match West Ham's results all the way to the end of the season. Not necessarily week to week, but overall, they'll still finish ahead of them, won't they? So,
yeah.
Yeah, I, with my, like, distinctly average score, was because... I was sat on a 20k green arrow after Saturday, and then Spurs played, and basically everyone that I didn't own returned. and yeah, that saw a 20k green arrow turn into a 20k red. So, as I say, hoping for Weghorst to go big. But yeah, that's seen Spurs reclaim 4th spot for the time being. So it's going to be a tense battle to the end of the season for top 4. Going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. And yeah, particularly with Spurs and Arsenal still having each other play to play. Do United play either of those two between now and the end of the season? Or
United have got Liverpool, yeah, Arsenal and Chelsea. As the big, as like the three. Oh, sorry, and Brentford. So yeah, the four hard games they've got left.
Definitely some 6-pointers in there then.
Yeah,
in terms
probably.
Of
to honest, battle. I assume the biggest 6-pointer they've got probably will be Brentford when they're battling mid table. So some more United shade for the day.
Inject it. But we get to what everyone, the game of the season next weekend. I am
excited.
Excited, shitting it, a combination of the two. It's massive. You know, I think it's going to be an unbelievable game just in terms of quality, but also what it means for the season, because it's going to be one of those where I think we had a game a few seasons ago at the Etihad where I think it finished 1-1 as well. And both teams were kind of, you know, they've obviously got massive firepower, but they weren't overly committing themselves, because a loss would have just been, you know, not terminal, but awful. Whereas, you know, you can kind of, or they felt like they could kind of take a point and hope that someone else takes points off the other team later down the line. But I think, you know, if one team is to win it, then that's pretty much the title done, just because they are so consistent. Like, it is really weird as a Liverpool fan now. Like, I've gone through, you know, 20 years of my life of us kind of being mediocre. Like, I've had the 2005 Champions League, 2006 FA Cup, and a few title charges in that time, but it's only really in the past 4 years that I've like known proper success. So before that, I was used to my team drawing or losing every other week or something like that, and that was just normal. Now if you pick up a draw, it feels like a loss, because they're just like absolute winning machines. And it is really weird that, you know, who did we play? Well, we've been on a 10 game winning streak, but, you know, the City drawing to Palace felt like, wow, they've dropped 3 points rather than just two.
Yeah, sure.
And it's just incredible the consistency that Klopp and Guardiola have got into their teams, because, you know, every week 3 points are expected, basically. So, yeah, I think if that game goes one of those two teams' way, then that is pretty much the title done there and then. But it's going to be an incredible game to watch.
Which way do you think it's going to go? I mean, obviously you're biased, but
this is the thing. I mean,
City, you're a good, you're a good unbiased person. I think you're an unbiased Liverpool fan.
Well, yeah, this is the thing. I think on the balance of it, like, we do have the momentum. Like, we've got not just a winning streak in the league, but in other competitions as well. So obviously, City have picked up that win on the weekend against Burnley, which, you know, does wonders for confidence, even if it is against Burnley. But I do just feel, and it's really boring, but I do just feel like it's going to be a 1-1 or a 2-2. Just because, as I said about that game a few seasons ago, I think they're going to have it in their minds that if they would, like, you want to go for the win, but equally if you lose off the back of, you know, one mistimed push forward and leave a gap in behind, you will get punished. And I think they'll be so scared of that, that as much as they'll want to be on the front foot, because that's how those two teams play, and they'll want to get goals, they'll be so wary and cautious of the other team's firepower going the other way, that, you know, I think they'd much rather draw that game and then try and just hope that the other team drops points somewhere along the way between now and the end of the season. Because, yeah, if like, let's play it out in the scenario: City win, they go 4 points clear of us. We have to hope that City lose two games between now and the end of the season.
Yeah.
Whereas if we were to beat, like, if we draw, then we just have to hope that they lose one. And that's like a very different situation. Obviously, if we were to win, then we would be only 2 points ahead of them. And so, you know, you would still kind of hope for a loss somewhere along that way. But, you know, picking up that win is going to be really difficult. So I think, each team will obviously try to win, but I think ultimately they'll probably play for a draw. Sadly, on the fence, I think it's going to be like 1-1 or 2-2, but definitely a very exciting game.
We don't usually start here, but I think maybe it's worth going for it. But who are you captaining this week?
I haven't actually looked. Let me take a look now and see if we can come up with something on the fly.
Right. Well, I'll start then. I'm captaining Salah this week.
Yeah. I mean, he does have a really good record against City. A lot from the penalty spot, but you take those, don't you?
Yeah, so. I mean, I don't really see anyone else. Like Kane against Villa. I mean, Villa haven't been great recently, but they're away.
Rafinha at Watford. Salah.
Yeah, I just think...
Leg horse at Norwich.
Definitely not.
Pope at Norwich.
Yeah, I just think I'll be sticking with Salah as captain.
Well, I mean, most people will be there, won't they? Just, it's the easy... And this isn't throwing shade, but it is just the easy way out because...
Oh, it absolutely is. But I mean, it just... He could have... People are talking about, oh, he hasn't returned in the last two games. He could have easily returned if he stayed on the pitch another 10 minutes and got the penalty.
Yeah.
So it's pretty... I saw a lot of people going, oh, it's Salah. I think... Actually, to be honest, I think it was like the official FPL page were like, oh, was it time to get rid of Salah? It's like... It was like Son and someone else has outscored him in the last like three games. Yeah, and it was like... Fuck off, you silly pricks. Like, he's got 20 goals and 11 assists this season. Like, he can carry us to whenever he wants. Yeah, I think I'm a captain this week.
Yeah, I mean, it probably will just, as I say, not being like too much of a wuss, but it is just a safe option because as much as he has blanked in the past two games, like, is he on for breaking the record of points that he set? He's on 225.
I don't know what the record is, to be honest.
He got 304 a few seasons ago, so I think
he can't
he's
be far
probably
off.
A bit. Well, we've got 8 games for him to get 70 odd points, so that's, you know, asking him to get 10 points a game basically, which I think is quite a big ask even for him.
Yeah, at the moment I think he's on for about 280. Okay. If he kept with the current form.
Even so, I think that would be like the second or third best total ever. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, mad.
Yeah, I think he has scored plenty of goals from open play against the likes of City, but also, as we've well established, he's on pens. And if it was to be like the Watford game, he's going to play the full 90 minutes. So if we get a 90th minute penalty, he'll be the one taking it. So I think both of us have... What am I saying? Champions League this week. So that is a factor, but... I think Klopp, we both play tomorrow. We play away in Benfica and City, play at home against Atletico, which is a slight factor, us having to travel to and from Portugal. But
I think people players are used to it now, though, aren't they? I mean, especially Liverpool players.
Yeah, and Klopp rested players on the weekend, both from the start and then after 60 or 70 minutes. So I think he'll go out there, try to get the job done, and then take them off so they can rest for the weekend. Or I wouldn't be surprised if he benches Salah so that he's ready for Saturday. Is it Sunday? Sunday.
Sunday afternoon. Yeah.
So yeah.
Interesting.
While we're here, the Arsenal lineups are out.
Yeah, Martinelli's been benched for fuck's sake.
Has he? Oh yeah. Dear.
You got him as well, yeah.
No,
Saka.
Yeah.
Bit annoying, but we move.
Classic. Well, I mean, that is surprising that he's brought Smith Rowe in for him because all season I've kind of expected once Smith Rowe was fit for him to come in for Martinelli, but Arteta's kept with pretty much the same starting 11. Also interesting, he's rested Tierney. Well, Tierney's not even in the squad at all. Tavares is starting at left back.
Was it something about Tierney potentially having COVID or something? I don't know, to be honest.
I hadn't heard that. But yeah, pretty much otherwise as expected, 11s. So we'll wait and see if Saka scores a hat-trick for me. But if he does, I think most of my rank around me have him. So
I don't, so I'll cry.
inject the tears.
Yeah, pretty much. Right, should we move on to Snogmare Avoid?
Let's do it.
So, if you've not listened to us before, Snogmare Avoid, very simple concept. Snog, someone we're getting in for a short-term period, maybe 1 or 2 weeks. Marry, someone we want pretty much, I guess, now for the rest of the season. And Avoid, someone who potentially other people are getting in and we don't want, or someone we just don't think you should get in, or I think I said last week, generally just disgusting, horrible human beings that we don't like at all. Usually the first two, to be honest, not usually the disgusting human beings. Apart from, I talked about Veghurst last week, and I stand by that.
So I'll get started. As someone I don't think you think is a disgusting, horrible human being.
No,
so
not at all.
We'll crack straight on. Dejan Kulusevski, Spurs' ginger from Sweden, as the song goes. Have you heard that one?
I have, yeah. Classic. It's already a classic, I think.
But yeah, Tom punted him. Well, not punted him. He shouted him out in the preview of game week 28. And as he will be so pleased to hear, Kulusevski then went on to get 2 assists and 10 points. And then since then, he has got, quick maths, 5 returns in 5 game weeks, which is pretty nutty. All assists, no goals, but points are points. You will take, and some more quick maths, 29 points in 5 game weeks, an average of 6 a week. And they've got the fixtures for that form to continue. So they go away to Villa next. No doubles in there, importantly. The Arsenal one will slot in somewhere. But all single game weeks, but all very nice opposition. They play Villa away, Brighton at home, Brentford away, and Leicester at home. You know, Spurs just come off the back of scoring 5 goals against Newcastle, who actually have been, I want to say, reasonably solid, like not defensive, you know, giants, but they've not been conceding buckets of goals, certainly not 5 a game as they did last time out. Mm-hmm. So Spurs are definitely in good attacking form, and Kulusevski, as those stats suggest, is pretty central to it. He's only 6.3 mil, 12.5% owned, so not differential, but also not, you know, you will get gains from any returns that he gives. And as I say, yeah, he seems nailed on to start, has displaced Lucas. And yeah, him, Kane, Son seem to be the set and forget front three. Conte's got a lot of trust in, and they're doing the business. So I think, yeah, Kulusevski, not the most insightful. Lots of people have transferred him in this week, but I think lots of people are doing the right thing. And if you haven't, I would recommend doing so. Either a double up of him and Son or him and Kane, I think, would work really well going forwards.
Yeah, I've since game 28, I've owned him, so I've managed to take advantage of all those beautiful, beautiful, sweet points. The Arsenal game has slotted into 36. That's been confirmed now.
Okay.
So Liverpool and Arsenal is a double. It's not a great double, but it is a double. But the rest of the fixtures, as you said, are pretty goddamn tasty.
The thing is, I think even in those games against Liverpool and Arsenal, like, Spurs normally pick themselves up for the Arsenal game, so you could foresee them winning that. I certainly anyway can see them scoring goals. Tom isn't so confident, but I can see them scoring goals against Liverpool as well. So even if Liverpool eventually run out winners or even just draw the game, like, Spurs I think will score. I think Son probably has the best chance of returns in those games. Kane maybe from the penalty spot, but someone's got to assist Son if he's going to score. So I think Kulusevski could, you know, not nice fixtures on paper, but I wouldn't argue against anyone having him in their team for that double. So
no, and he's been excellent as well, been so nice to watch, really, really good. I've really enjoyed watching the games actually with him playing. Tottenham just looked so much better with him in the team. Very much enjoy it. My snog this week, and just another chance to really hammer home the fact that Brentford won 4-1 against Chelsea,
and Brentford are massive,
and Chelsea only have lost 2 games at home this year. I've gone with Christian Eriksen. Got West Ham this week. They've got Watford next week. He's cheap. It's fun. Why not? That's literally it. I really loved it. He was so, so good. Oh, honest to God. Some of the passes he made against
Chelsea. You say he's 5.5?
He's 5.5. Yeah. So, I mean, relatively cheap. He was unbelievable. He literally made the difference. There's obviously a lot of players played well, but the fact he only got 1 assist against Chelsea, bear in mind there was obviously he wasn't the goal scorer and there was 3 other goal scorers, and Bormo got 2 assists himself. He got 2 bonus points. I think that pretty much summed up how many chances he created, how much he did in the team. Was just unbelievable all around. I mean, Bormo was also very, very, very good. It was an unbelievable performance by us, and was not expecting it. Absolutely loved it. And yeah, Chris and, Harrison. It's a fun
nice little voice
well.
Crack there.
Yeah, nice little. It's just a fun pick. I mean, everyone talks about FPL being a bit too serious sometimes, and having a player like being able to get a player in like Christian Eriksen is always very fun. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and as you say, he's 5.5. I've got Cornet at 5.9, who's been really disappointing of late, not done much, if anything at all, which is, yeah, really frustrating because he was, you know, not quite talisman, but really productive for Burnley when he first came in. And he's since really dropped off. The only thing that's difficult for me moving him on, I think I might do, but they do double in 33 and now 37. They're not amazing fixtures, but it is just the case of having doubles. Like, it is two bites at the cherry for points in a game week. So it is kind of hard to shift on. And Brentford don't have any doubles, do they? Because they pretty much played all their fixtures when they were supposed to. So,
yeah, I think they're pretty much now straight all the way through. he has had, so he's played three games since he's been back fully. I mean, he had 38 minutes off the bench against Newcastle. He's played 390 minutes and he's got a goal and an assist in that. So, I mean, three games, one goal, one assist. It's not bad going, is it?
No, and as I say, for 5.5, like, you literally
can't. I realise he got, also, sorry, I did realise that I said Eriksen got an assist on the weekend. He actually scored. Of course he scored. Yeah. It was a good finish as well.
Idiot. It was a very good finish.
Just on that point as well, I do need a quick shout out. If you haven't gone and seen it yet, go and have a look at BBC Garth Crooks' Team of the Week. He's decided this week to put Vitaly Anelt. If you don't know Vitaly Anelt, German legend, plays for Brentford. He's a centre defensive midfielder, and Garth Crooks is playing in right wing in his Team of the Week. Hilarious.
The only thing is that Anelt was like your furthest player forward for his two goals. So,
but it's still from CDM. Like, I mean, he was running from the midfield and he's played him as a right winger. It's not even like he's played him as like striker. I'll put him as a striker because he scored the two goals. He literally was coming from like centre mid.
Well, I mean, we did mention Tim Sherwood earlier. Garth Crooks isn't far off. So,
oh, who's worse? I think Tim Sherwood's still worse, actually.
Doesn't really bear thinking about, does it?
No. At least Garth Crooks is good entertainment.
Yeah, he is funny, whereas Tim Shaw was just annoying. Right, Marries then. Mine, again, not particularly insightful. Did only talk about him fairly recently, but I think it just has to be said. KDB, incredible again on the weekend. Back to his best, I would not, you know, be too ashamed to say. A goal and maximum bonus against Burnley. Blanked against Palace, well documented, but then 18 points against Man United the week before that. I think he's just going to be a mainstay for the rest of the season, isn't he? City have a double in 37, which is... Actually, do they? It's not been... Actually, no, I don't think that's been decided yet. They do have to fit in a fixture.
Yeah, it'll either be 30, at some point. 36 or 37, one of the two. Yeah. I'm not sure which one. Well, they've got two games to put in. Still, which is a bit weird. Because, yeah, you've got Wolves and West Ham.
West Ham, for me, is showing that it's in 37.
Oh, then... Oh, it's potentially if they... Oh, it's a weird one. It's like it's how far they get in certain cups and stuff like that.
So okay.
Just dependent.
So that could be shifted.
Yeah, potentially.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, they could end up with two doubles in that case. But even if they don't, like, outside of Liverpool, which... I think
it'll be one double, sorry, ignore me.
Okay, even I think Mahrez is on pens now, so if they were to get one against Liverpool, then he'll probably take that. But KDB could absolutely return from open play. I mean, I say open play, not necessarily from the penalty spot. He's on their free kicks, corners, everything is like that. So, and then they have two home games back to back against Brighton and Watford, and I think was Watford where they had their record win when it was like 8 or 9-0 or something like that at the Etihad a few years ago?
I can't remember, to be honest.
I think it was. I think they were like 6-0 up within half an hour or something like that. And even if it wasn't Watford, they have the potential to do that. And then they go away to Leeds, Newcastle at home. It's just a really, really nice end to the season. And City score goals against everyone. So I can't believe he's only 7.7% owned.
That's mad, isn't it?
He is expensive at 11.7, but he is like the best, or one of the best players in the league. So, I mean, 21,000 people have transferred him in this week, but I'm surprised that number's not a lot higher.
Yeah, nuts. My marry this week is going to be James Maddison, 9.5% owned, 6.8 million, has three confirmed doubles in the run-up to the final games. They start off with Crystal Palace in game week 32, then they've got Newcastle and Everton in a double, 34 and 35, Aston Villa and Tottenham. They then have another double of Everton and Norwich, which is absolutely delicious. 37 is Watford and Chelsea, and they finish the season with Southampton. James Maddison looks absolutely brilliant. Really back to the best form that he's been in a long time. Pretty low owned still. Slightly more expensive than Harvey Barnes. Harvey Barnes.
Ooh, it's an equaliser.
He's also looked really good, to be honest. You could probably go for either one. I will probably stick with James Maddison because I think there's a little bit less rotation with him. He looks so good. I think he's pretty indispensable in that team at the moment. James Maddison. Excellent run of fixtures. Pretty cheap. A good swap for Coutinho is what I'm going to be doing this week. Obviously, he's blanking next week. And they've got also a relatively good run of fixtures towards the end of the season, but I think Leicester's slightly better, and I think Leicester are actually playing a little bit better at the moment, playing quite well.
Yeah, I mean, it's been so long, really, since I've watched Premier League football. I mean, it has been a really long time. So I think I've still kind of got the impression in my mind of Leicester not being particularly good, but it has been a while since they last played. I mean, I think Maddison being on set pieces and stuff maybe sways it a little bit, but Barnes can be quite explosive and does actually have quite is in quite good form. He has, how many is it? Three returns in his past five games. One goal and two assists, which isn't terrible for 6.6. And as you say, with four doubles between now and the end of the season, I think I'm not quite so convinced as you are that Barnes isn't going to is.
Oh, I don't think no. I mean, I think he's a good pick. I just think I personally prefer Maddison.
Well, just in terms of him being a rotation risk, I think as long as he's fit, I think he plays. And he seems to be keeping himself fit at the minute. So, yeah, it is. I think I would only want to have one of them, and it is really difficult to choose between the two of them because they're so similarly priced, so similarly owned, and have similar threat. But it will just be the case, I know it, you go for one and then the other one will be the one that gets double digit hauls in like three out of their four doubles, and the other one will get like one assist. So that is just how it's going to go. But yeah, I think Leicester are absolutely assets to be looking to get, and of them, Barnes and, as you mentioned, Maddison are the ones to consider. Who you shouldn't be considering, though, mentioned him a few weeks ago, but now I finally got around to getting rid of him, is Emmanuel Dennis. I think I mentioned getting rid of him the week after he scored against Villa, and since then he's blanked. So that's six games that he's not scored in. He obviously did start the season as like a £5 million asset, and he's now up at 5.9. So, you know, it's not his job. That's his job, isn't it? to score every week. But it's just the case that I'm quite surprised. We are obviously not all the way through game week 31 just yet, but 11,000 people have already transferred him in. And I mean, you're getting two for one this week. 21,000 people have transferred in Cucho Hernandez as well. Avoid both of them. Unless you're getting Cucho in for enabler ability, then fine. But otherwise, just stay clear of Watford attackers. They've not been prolific at all in recent times. I mean, Cucho scored a few goals, but they're not particularly inspiring and they're going to go down. So just stay clear.
See. Awesome.
Do you disagree?
No. I think they'll go down too, but sticking your neck out on the line there, aren't you, a little bit?
Well, I mean, it's not that far out there. We've got, I don't know, where is it? What's the table saying? It's Norwich and then them, isn't it?
No, Burnley at the moment, but they've got two games in hand as well. Be interesting. Yeah. Be very interesting. No, I agree with you. Aaron Dennis is a hateful, hateful man. Get rid of him. Someone I'm going to say to avoid, which I think is a little bit more controversial, is Diogo Jota. He's owned by 17.9% of people. He's just scored a goal and assist. In his last game, he scored a goal. The issue I've got is there's a lot of rotation risk now. He's playing really well. He's playing great. I think he's brilliant. I absolutely love owning him, to be honest. But now you've got Luiz, obviously Firmino's back, Mane's in. There's a lot of rotation. There's a lot of cups. There's a lot of games that, I mean, obviously Liverpool's still on for the quadruple. It's one of those where if you own him, you just have to be ready that he potentially gets benched and doesn't play 1 week. Obviously, there's potential that he can come on and score. He's good enough to do that. All I'd say is if you do own him, make sure you've got a playing bench to have people come in for him. Because I think there will be rotation, especially when, as Liverpool hopefully, and I say hopefully because I hope they do well this year, progress further in the cups and do well. So, yeah, I'm going to say avoid him because I think there's other options you can have. I think Salah's just the one to have if you're going to keep the Liverpool player. And I'd rather have Trent, I think, than Jota because I think Joe Gomez obviously played on the weekend at right back. But they don't really have many other options at right back.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to pose the question to you, do you think it's worth dropping Salah and going for Jota for the rest of the season? But your answer there kind of suggests not.
No, I mean, Salah's the player that just plays every game, isn't it, really? I think Salah is the equivalent to De Bruyne in the Man City team, and your Jota's comparable to sort of your Sterling or your Mahrez. It's like there's just so many questions about every week. I mean, if every week you don't mind staying up until literally the teams are announced, sweating whether you're actually going they're going to play or not, then fine, go for him. But if you think he's potentially going to get rested, then I would just avoid him. As good as he is, I mean, he's brilliant. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think it's worth the pain of seeing him sit on the bench every other week.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, There is obviously such competition for places, so I'm pretty sure we didn't see Diaz at all on the weekend, and any other week that could very easily be Jota as well. Such is the competition, particularly with Firmino coming back fit. I do get where you're coming from. This is clearly from your point of view, you wouldn't want to have him. It was something that I kind of. After he scored, and after the notification came through on my phone that he scored on the weekend, I was like, why don't I own him? Or why do I not feel like more people own him? Because he does just score goals. Like, Liverpool score lots and lots of goals. We're the top scoring team in the league this year. If not the top, then one of the top in the Champions League as well. And Jota's got, I don't have it to hand, but I'm sure well over 20, if nearing 20, if not over 20 goals this season in all competitions. So he is absolutely an asset, and for 8 million, 8.3 now, it does feel like he should be more in the conversation. I do just wonder, I don't feel like Bobby Firmino is going to compete as much for minutes. Obviously, Diaz has been incredible since he's come in, but I do feel like Jota's going to start more or play more minutes than he's not going to. And in that time, I think he'll score points and, well, goals and therefore points. So, yeah, I think he is viable. I guess the only alternative is, do you think you'll stay doubled up on Liverpool in terms of Robertson and Trent for the rest of the season?
No, because... Robbo's dropping out for James this week.
Okay.
But I'm keeping Trent now for the rest of the season. Salah's keeping for the rest of the season.
I was going to suggest that, you know, if you wanted a nailed on 7 to 8 million pound asset from Liverpool who's going to get loads of points, then you could just stay doubled up on Robbo and Trent because they're both, barring injury, play every week and will get clean sheets and assists, which will be just as fruitful as Jota, and you won't have the rotation headache. So
yeah, I was going to do that. I'm dropping Robbo to James and keeping Rudiger instead, just because Chelsea have got more doubles, basically. Yeah. Chelsea have got two, Liverpool have got one. I think the fixtures are pretty similar between the two of them. So for me, just gonna stick with that plan at the moment, and yeah, hope it doesn't come bite me too much by going Rudiger instead of, and also gives me a bit of extra money in the bank.
Yeah, that, I mean, we'll kind of say that that concludes Snogmare Envoy, but it does kind of segue nicely into talking about these doubles. Chelsea, I mean, obviously we are swayed by the recent memory of the 4-1 at home to Brentford. But
it was glorious.
But their doubles aren't particularly nice. They have Wolves at home and Leeds away. Obviously, Leeds are fighting relegation, aren't particularly known for their goal-scoring exploits this season, and Chelsea are well known for their defensive prowess. But that double of Wolves and Leeds, with a resurgent Leeds who are starting to find their goal-scoring boots, and Wolves who, you know, the fourth best defence in the league outside of the top three this season, that doesn't look particularly appetising. And then their second double was away against United and at home against Leicester. Okay, United aren't in good form, but it's still United. Ronaldo, let's assume he is fit for that game, is always a threat. And as we've just said, Leicester are resurgent and have lots of doubles themselves. So I'm surprised you're doubling on Chelsea defenders for... Will you be doubling for those game weeks as well? Or are you just talking
about... Yeah, I mean, I'll probably have them for the majority of the season now coming in the run-in. I think everyone's sort of been swayed by getting absolutely humbled by Brentford on the weekend. I say it again. It wasn't a case of Chelsea played poorly, I don't think. Sorry, no, it was a case of Chelsea played poorly and Brentford played really well. Chelsea dominated most of the match, to be honest. It's just we hit on the counter and just managed to finish the chances we had, basically. They've still conceded the third least goals in the league this year. They look still very good, apart from the game against Brentford, which we've talked about several times today because they got fucking destroyed. but I mean, they've only conceded 23 goals all season.
Yeah.
I think Reece James is a must-have in the Chelsea team. And then it's a decision of who you have from Man City or Liverpool, because I think you have to double up on one of those teams. And for me, you double up on the team which has the best fixtures and the most doubles. And that is Chelsea, I would say.
I don't know. I'm not entirely unconvinced. I just haven't given a lot of thought to it. At the minute, I'm trying to work out when to play my wild card, whether I do it in 33. I mean, there's going to be not blanks as such, but teams missing from certain game weeks as, you know, the cup competitions progress, as you mentioned earlier. But it kind of looks like, I don't know, 30. My team does need surgery. This is the thing. I'm balancing how long can I limp along with the team I've got versus when is the optimum time to play my wild card in terms of building a team to cover fixtures. So, for example, we're looking at 33 here. Villa blank, Leeds blank, and Wolves blank. Now, that's only three teams out of 20. So that kind of... I do own three players from those three teams in Watkins, Ramsey, and Rafinha. So they could all easily be benched. And I still have a full playing 11. And that way I save my wild card for getting closer towards game week 36. But will my team, you know, perform well enough up until that point for me to still be in contention in mini leagues, overall rank, all that sort of stuff? Mm. Because all I have left is my wild card and my bench boost. So, yeah.
I mean, I assume your bench boost is pretty much nailed on for 36 now?
Probably, just with... But then that's like... Do I guess in terms of doubles, Villa, well, the FDR hasn't fully updated yet. So
I've got them all here in front of me if you want a quick rundown.
Well, do Villa double in 36?
Yeah, they do. So Villa, Arsenal, Chelsea, Leeds. Everton, Leeds, Leicester, Liverpool, Wolves potentially.
Because this is the thing, that if I wildcard to set my team up for 36, I mean, I could set it up. I could wildcard ahead of 33, have Leicester assets who are going to double. I will keep any Liverpool assets I've got who will double.
And then just build like towards 36, maybe.
Yeah, so in terms of wildcard for 33, and then maybe over the 2 or 3 weeks between there and 36, bring back in Villa assets. They played Norwich in 35. So you might want to target them for that. And then they double in 36 with Burnley and someone else. So that could be a strategy, particularly, because there is a double in 33. So getting, for example, Newcastle and Leicester assets in, maybe keeping the Burnley ones I've got. They do have West Ham and Southampton, which isn't the easiest, but yeah, definitely a lot to be done, that's for sure, or a lot to consider anyway.
Basics, I'm on bench boost and free hit left, and I'm bench boosting 36 now. It's pretty much confirmed for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably going to free hit in 37, actually, rather than 33. I just don't like the 33 fixtures. There's no one really that I want to target.
No.
It would be Leicester players, but I'm going to get in Madison, as I've already said. I don't want any Southampton players. I don't want any Newcastle. I mean, potentially a Newcastle player if I was feeling a bit spicy.
A little bit shaky.
The only one there that I'm really like, oh, maybe I need a player for is United versus Norwich. But then they've got Liverpool next. So really I'm focusing on really a single game week. And I can't afford Sancho, but I don't want to free hit him in because I just don't think that's the greatest of fixtures. The United aren't playing well. And then Burnley, Brighton, Arsenal players. So for me, I'm pretty far away from free hitting in 33 now, and I mean, you've got in 37, I've got Leicester, you've got Watford and Chelsea. If Man City's double falls into 37, that is perfect because no one's going to really own Man City players. So to be able to take advantage of a free hit and bring in three Man City assets when they have potentially West Ham and Wolves, where they're not the easiest of fixtures, but we're talking about Man City. It could be any. That literally could be anybody.
Have an incredible record against West Ham, don't they? So
yeah, I mean that could literally be anybody. So it's West Ham away and Wolves. It'd be Wolves at home, I think. But I mean that doesn't really matter. So it would be Man City, three Man City players when no one really would be able to get Man City players in because everyone would have targeted 36. So,
not in that volume, anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Not. I mean, to be able to go right, I'm going to have Cancelo, Mahrez, Sterling, for example, or De Bruyne. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could probably take advantage of that. The rest of the doubles are okay. I mean, Villa have potentially got another double in there. Palace have got Aston Villa and Everton. And obviously not confirmed, but potentially. Which again could be, I mean, Conor Gallagher's screaming there, where you probably wouldn't have Conor Gallagher in maybe for 36, but probably not. I really like that strategy now for me going forward. I mean, obviously, if you don't have free hit, then I think focus on getting to 36, and then most of the teams in 36 have pretty good fixtures the next week in 37 anyway. So, yeah. And also, Everton have got a double game week. I mean, I can get Dominic Calvert-Lewin in again. Brilliant. Can't wait.
They've got a double-double. They've got 36 and 37.
Oh, Anthony Gordon's going to be feasting.
Well, this is the thing. I think I will just have Gordon just because
He's cheap.
4.5 and plays four times in two game weeks. So.
Yeah, exactly.
La Liga.
What?
Shall we talk about the league?
Oh, I thought you meant La Liga as in like we're gonna talk about La Liga. I was like, have we diversified? Is this a new thing we're doing?
We're branching out, we're trying to make ourselves more marketable, let's say.
Okay.
No. The FPL by Dummies podcast league. I just want to say Rob Carlisle makes me feel a little bit sick. He's sat on 52 points with 13 to come off the bench from Bowen.
I love it.
Had Doherty. This is what I mean, that like, why do I not have Ben Davies or Doherty? Because it seems like everyone else does.
I hate Doherty so much.
Well, this is just like, and then the thing is as well, they played two right wing backs on the weekend and a left back at centre back, and all three of them scored. It's just like Doherty's not played for most of the season with Emerson playing, and then they all of a sudden both play and both score.
It just annoys me, and I know I've spoken to Rob many times about it, but it just annoys me so much the fact he still owns Dennis and King. He owns both of them.
And he's ranked
at 5K. Honest to God, you don't understand how much that jars me every single week when he talks to me about. We chat about transfers most weeks, about what he's doing and stuff. And he keeps going, I need to get out Dennis and King. And then he'll be like, oh, I made one transfer this week. It's like, oh, right, did you get Dennis King out? It's like, oh, no, I took Jimenez out for Weghurst. Or I got Bamford out for Ings. I brought in Kulusevski for Podence. It's like, take them fucking out your team, Rob.
Meanwhile, a few places above him, Sam's having an absolute stinker. He's gone from number 12 to number 61 in the world. That is just disgustingly bad.
Oh, dear.
Step it up, Sam. That is honestly awful. Yeah, he is still about 100 points clear of anyone in our league.
Yeah, cool. I mean, but second place, Paul's had a bit of a screamer again. 54
yeah,
points,
he has.
Not bad at all.
Yeah, decent standard.
Yeah, it's a bit depressing when you look where you are.
Matthew Covino has had an absolute whopper. Sat on 82 points. I mean, he doesn't have anyone else left to play, but literally everyone in his team returned.
That's quite impressive, yeah.
Only Livramento, Coutinho, Ambrosia didn't return, and Salah. But the rest of them are pretty much double digit.
Yeah,
Ward-Prowse, Bowen, Son, Doherty, Watkins, and then Sanchez and Cancelo with six each.
Makes me feel a bit sick, I'm not going to lie. Double my score this week.
That's got to be the best of the week so far. I can't see anyone else.
No, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I will, while we're talking about leagues, just a funny one. Obviously, the cup starts in a couple of weeks' time. I'm in a cup at home, like one of our local pubs has like a league and everyone's in it. Mm-hmm. And I'm playing currently a person in my league who is currently ranked 8,500,375th in the world.
And they make lose.
They make every week, they make about 7 or 8 transfers, and I'm currently losing.
It's always the way whenever you're it's in the cup against ridiculous. Someone who is like, not even half your rank, like 7 million places below you. That is the week that they beat you. They all of a sudden have a blinder and beat you.
Yeah, they've got. I'm beating them at the moment, but only by a few points. And they've got Saka and Pope to play, and obviously I've got Martinelli, but he's not playing. So, and obviously Anthony Gordon, but he's going to be fuck all, isn't he? So yeah, if I lose to 8,500,000 in the world, I got to be honest, I might just quit and go home. So
well, I'm pretty sure that's who I got first rounded to in the very first round of the cup this year. So. You and me both, mate. But yeah, I think, well, yeah, as you kind of mentioned, we do have the cup starting in a few weeks, so keep an eye out for that in the FPL by Dummies League. And we'll see who really comes out on top, because that's all that anyone cares about, really.
Not yeah, no one cares about actually winning the league. The yes, Sam. No one cares about winning that.
Tim Pot Trophy.
Yeah, Tim Pot Trophy. Everyone wants to win the FA Cup. I think that is, as we always say, that's all we've got time for.
Sadly.
That is all we've got time for. Thank you very much for listening if you've got this far, as normal. You can follow me and Cam on Le Twitter. See, I've gone French as well. Not just you can do French, mate, or Spanish.
You've just gone continental.
Yeah. Gone worldwide. Cam is FPL Dummy Cam. I am FPL Dummy Tom, and you can follow us on the FPL by Dummies, which is our Twitter handle for the actual podcast. Yeah, nothing more to talk about, really. Oh, actually, I may as well say about it. I'm on Clash of the Correspondents this week on the Planet FPL. I will be talking a lot about Brentford. It will be really funny because I'm not gonna lie, I ain't gonna stop talking. Other than that, we'll be back again next week.
We will.
Yeah, I don't know why it was a question. We will be back in next week. yeah, we're back in next week. Normal time, same place. And we'll see you again. Bye for now.
See you later.